We're going to go to the scriptures now. If you're using your Pew Bible, you can find Philippians 2:19 on page 1350. So please turn in your Bibles there to Philippians 2, and today we'll have verses 19 through 24. I'll get to that in a moment. Let's pray, shall we? Father, I bless your name. Thank you for your word. Thank you for all, Lord, that you've already filled us up with today. Father, it has been a blessing already to be in your house and to drink of your Holy Spirit. We pray now, Lord, as we consider this passage of your word, that you would direct us, show us a good role model, dear Father. Help us, Lord, to imitate him, and in so doing, to imitate your wonderful Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Bless us now and open our ears, Lord, while we consider your word this morning. I pray in Christ, amen. All right, so last time we got as far as verse 18 of this chapter, which I said was the end of a major division of Philippians that started back in chapter 1 and verse 27. So that passage is full of passionate exhortation to the Philippians to live their lives full worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? To imitate him in humble self-giving, blameless conduct, selfless brotherly love, to be a shining testimony to the goodness of God and to the life-giving power of his Holy Spirit, right? Let this mind be also in you that was in Jesus Christ. Perfect obedience, perfect love, faithful service and self-sacrifice, and that's all for the pleasure and honor of God on the throne. So I want to remind you now, what was the occasion of this letter? Why is Philippians being written? The Philippians have sent Paul a love gift of sorts, a care package, if you like, to supply for his needs being in prison. And whatever that may have consisted of, you know, clothes, food, blankets, and so on, they had sent one of their members, a man called Epaphroditus, to Rome to bring Paul these things and find out how he's getting on. And this letter is Paul's response. Okay, it's part thank you note, it's part personal update, and it is part Christian instruction and encouragement. Okay, so like I said last time, Paul is very soon going to be finding out how his imprisonment will end, probably by being released, but he doesn't know that, right? Alternately, he could be put to death. So you maybe remember from the book of Acts that he has appealed to Caesar, right? Remember, he was accused of preaching things contrary to the Jewish establishment, and they wanted him to be put to death. And the local magistrates there in Jerusalem kind of waffled on his case. They didn't find anything really wrong with him, but they wanted to keep the Jews happy, so they were kind of playing politics with his life. And it seemed they were about to give him up to their will, so he had to say, look, I'm going to exercise my right as a Roman citizen, and goes all the way to the top to appeal to Caesar, which that itself is not without risk either, because the Jews were framing the case against him as being insurgent, if you like, or being in competition against Caesar, as being seditious, I should say, against Roman authority, and Caesar is not known to be lenient toward people like that. But anyway, as we've seen, Paul is totally at peace with whatever the outcome. I remember him saying to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. What would I choose? I don't even know, he says, whether to depart and be with Christ, which is far better, or to remain here in the flesh, which he says that would be better for you. So last week we heard him say this. If you rewind a couple verses, he says, even if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I'm glad and rejoice. Right? Christ gave his life for us all, and if I should give my life for his sake, well, I cannot imagine a higher honor happening to me, so I want you to be glad for me if that should happen. So, all right, starting with verse 19, Paul is going to tell them how he's going to communicate with them and keep them informed about his doings. So he's got Timothy with him, and then he's got the man Epaphroditus, who is the man who brought the care package. He's a Philippian. And I think Paul was actually getting ready to wind up the letter here. he's kind of coming down from this mountain peak that was Philippians 2. You know, here he sounds like he's getting ready to wrap up, and then you'll see he'll blast off again, and we'll get some more good stuff in chapter 3, and then he'll wind up. But anyway, now he explains, I'm sending you back Epaphroditus right now, and he'll actually be the one to carry the original Philippians back to the Philippians, and then pretty soon I will send you Timothy once we find out what happened. So we have a first few verses about Timothy, and then we'll save for next time. There's a few verses about Epaphroditus as well. So, all right, let's read verse 19. He says, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded. Okay, that is to say, there's no one of the same spirit as he. Or like-minded might mean like-minded with me. There's nobody else who thinks and feels the same way that I do. Okay, I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. Okay, and then verse 21 is pretty candid. He says, for all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But as for him, you know his proven character, Timothy, that is, that as a son with his father, he has served with me in the gospel. Therefore, I hope to send him at once as soon as I see how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly. Okay, so what have you seen? Paul intends to send Timothy to Philippi, like not right away, but pretty soon, so that they can hear. This is the only way to communicate back then, right? You don't get on the phone and call anybody. You send a person. Okay, they need to know the outcome of his case. But you see that he expects Timothy to actually come back to him and tell him how they're doing. Okay, that's verse 19, right? That I also may be encouraged when I know your state. Okay, so the idea is Timothy's going to go and come back. So actually, it does not sound like Paul is very very much expecting to be executed, right? He expects to be around for Timothy to go, spend some time there in a pastoral capacity, and then return and report on the state of this beloved church. Okay, and then he even says, I trust it won't be long till I myself am free to come and see you in person. So quite optimistic, actually, about how things are going to turn out, and it turns out that he was right. Okay, but I want to consider what he says about Timothy here and the context in which it is said. All right, on the one hand, it is very clear that Timothy is an excellent young man and an exceptional Christian. But on the other hand, you know, you cannot help but sort of get a sense, may I say, of disappointment on Paul's part that Timothy's excellence is so exceptional. You know, why are there so few like him? And actually, that verse 21 kind of takes you aback a little bit to hear Paul say, you know, everyone else just seeks his own things and not the things of Christ Jesus. And, you know, I take that as kind of a pointed remark. And I think it, you know, it probably do us good to sit there with that a little while and think about what he's trying to say. But first, let's look at what's excellent, okay? Let's talk about Timothy. Paul especially highlights that Timothy will genuinely care for your state, right? He sincerely loves you and will go to great lengths to assist your spiritual health and well-being. So you'll remember the Lord Jesus referring to himself as the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd genuinely cares for and will even lay his life down for the sake of the sheep. Whereas so many others, Jesus calls them, are hirelings. Okay, hirelings may do the job after a fashion, but they don't love the sheep the way that the Good Shepherd loves the sheep. And they would, frankly, give up on the sheep if it was no longer in their own personal interest to shepherd the sheep. Okay, and Jesus said, the hireling flees when the wolf attacks. Why? Well, I guess because when you get right down to it, you know, their own concerns take precedence for them. Okay, well, I have my own health and well-being to look after, not just yours, and I'm just not going to risk my life or life savings for them. Okay, Timothy is no hireling. He's genuinely concerned about your welfare, says Paul. If I send him and he goes to you, like, he'll go, but not just to carry out the assignment that I gave him either, right? You understand? He loves you. This is not a case of, well, I've been assigned this duty and it's just, you know, a man's got to do what a man's got to do. I've got to do my job. He's concerned about you. He knows that you have adversaries. He knows what kind of challenges you're facing. He knows what sorts of things are threatening your faith, what dangers there are to young believers. And you are always on his mind, and he is praying for you all the time. His soul is bound up with your souls. This reminded me of something at the end of Colossians, where Paul writes to the Colossians about their friend, who's called Epaphras, and he said, he's always wrestling for you in prayer. Okay, you're always on his mind. He's always thinking about his brothers over there in your city. Okay, you understand, for Timothy, this is no career choice. He's driven and he's motivated by the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and his love for people, his love for souls. Okay, his tenderness and compassion, right? This, the way that, you know how what I thought of is the way that Jesus refers to us as his little ones. Okay, his little ones. I mean, just that one phrase revolutionizes how you would think of your fellow Christians. Remember Jesus and Peter, right? Peter, do you love me? Take care of my lambs. Okay, my lambs. Lord, yes, you know that I love you. Okay, well then, Peter, shepherd my sheep. Feed my lambs. Right? Care genuinely for them. Okay, that scene at the end of John is among the most touching scenes in the entire Bible, as Peter is welcomed back into the grace of Jesus after having betrayed him. And, you know, they're on the beach the morning, or it's not the morning of the resurrection, but shortly after the resurrection. And, you know, Peter is just melted by the love of Jesus. Peter, do you love me? Okay, and I feel like Timothy must have had some similar love for the Lord that just drove him, motivated him. Right? Do you love me, Timothy? Then take care of my lambs. Right? Look after my little ones. And, you know, I've gotten the sense sometimes that a lot of Christian endeavor is driven mainly by a sense of duty. You know, like military style. And then we do have a lot of hymns that have a sort of militant feel to them. You know, our commander has ordered us to go and, you know, carry out this mission, you know, such and such a mission. And so we must, you know, we do it because we must, you know, we're under orders and we're on a campaign and so on. It's our duty. Well, and I would ask, well, what if it weren't your duty? You know, what if you were not ordered to? Would you still? And I wonder sometimes, I don't know if a lot of us would still do all of the things that we do because we feel like it's our duty to do. Okay, and the question should come up, why do we serve? Is it because we must? You know, we've been ordered to do it. So you think Paul could have picked, you know, he's there in Rome, he could have picked another Christian there in Rome and have, like, said, look, I need to send you to go do this. I need you to go in Philippi and come back to me with a report of how they're doing. He could have chosen somebody and made them go, and probably they would have done it. But, you know, he says nobody's heart would be in it the way that Timothy's heart is fully in it. And, you know, this is because of the kind of Christian that Timothy is. And he's apparently very much the kind of Christian that Paul himself is. Okay, and it's absolutely devoted to the people of the Lord Jesus Christ, absolutely devoted to the Savior Jesus, right? And of course, Paul, the Lord had mercy on him directly, right? With such compassion and tenderness, right? Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? Right? And he writes later on in life, in one of the Timothy letters, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ was exceedingly abundant toward me. Okay, and so it is the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what drives me. That's what compels me. Okay, that love that sincerely cares for the Master's little ones and yearns for their well-being and anxious to know, are they all right? Are they still standing strong? And so on. Okay, all of that is the same kind of heart that's in Timothy. So Paul says here to them, you know Timothy's proven character. Okay, you know how he's distinguished himself by so much faithful labor and service by my side. Okay, Timothy shared in all of Paul's trials, travels, his afflictions, his teaching, all the hardship through two whole missionary journeys and beyond. Timothy also has been in prison. Timothy also has been a preacher and has and an evangelist. You know, he's been part of the pastoral team in Macedonia when Paul was away. So he's invested in these Greek believers. He's invested heart and soul in them, and he has suffered a personal cost for doing that. Okay, Paul calls him my true son in the faith. So read the Timothy letters, and you'll see there the affection. You will feel Paul's heart resonate with his friend and protege. Okay, he says this, son Timothy, right, calls him son Timothy, you have carefully followed my teaching, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my love, my perseverance, and my persecutions and afflictions. Okay, you have shared in all of these things with me. So, you know, you don't, in the scriptures, you don't have as detailed an account of Timothy's doings as you do of Paul's, but you have enough to know that he was right there by Paul's side in everything that he went through. And just like Paul, he spent and was spent for the sake of the gospel. Okay, he just as much a part of the church's lives as the apostle himself, and he was well known and well loved. And I think especially, you know, because he's in the junior role, everybody is able to see him, you know, develop and mature into a seasoned a teacher and leader. So I'll read you this from 1 Timothy. Paul says to him, don't let anyone look down on you because of your youth. Rather, be an example to the rest of the believers in conduct, in speech, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Devote yourself to reading them the scriptures, and to exhorting them and to teaching them. Don't neglect the gift that is in you. Give yourself entirely to it, so that your progress may be evident to all. Okay, so that people will see, and that's what people have seen. They've seen this young man give himself wholly to the things of the Lord Jesus, and his progress has been visible to them, to the churches. So he's well known and well loved, and it's because he's such a rare and exceptional young man with a shepherd's heart that is so like Paul's. And because it's like Paul's, it's like the Lord Jesus, right? It's Christ's own good shepherd's heart. Okay, you know his proven character, says Paul, how like a son alongside his father he has served with me in the gospel. And to me, this is just, it's just excellent and marvelous. And I guess it's understandable then that Paul says, what he means when he says, I don't have anybody else like him, okay, or I think accurate translation is same-minded or same-souled or of the same spirit, you know, probably meaning of the same spirit as my own. You know, to send Timothy to you is as good as going myself. You know, he's my very heart. But Paul loves the Philippians very much, and, you know, he calls them things like my joy and my crown, my dearly beloved brothers whom I long for, and so on. It's Timothy that loves you just as much as I do and sincerely cares for you just as much as I do. He's the only one I have who's so genuinely concerned about you. He's just a gem. And, of course, it's great to know that there are some such men who, you know, have the shepherd's heart, you know, which is so willing to give and to sacrifice and to love Christ's loved ones. But, you know, that one verse, you know, why should it be that he's the exception? You know, why aren't there 10 of him? Why aren't there like 50 of him? Right within Paul's reach, you know, it's okay. There's that verse 21. All seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. And you know, when I kick that verse around in my head, I feel like I don't like that. But if the shoe fits, you know, Paul knows how to read people, and Paul is, you know, writing under the power of the Holy Spirit. So you would have to say he's pretty on the mark about that. And You know, if we're candid, wouldn't we have to admit that he's right? So, you know, the Christian way, you know, the Christian teaching about utter selflessness and sacrificial love for the brotherhood and loving your neighbor as yourself, and, you know, this is a high and holy teaching, is it not? Okay, you are children of God. You are brothers. Love your brothers with all your heart and your soul. Conduct yourselves worthy of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Lay down your lives for your brothers. Consider each other above yourselves. Consider each other to be more worthy than yourselves. Right? Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. And be willing to humble and to abase yourself for the sake of your brothers, and to serve them and to be devoted to one another in self-giving love and lowliness of spirit. Okay, look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. And then he says, but all do seek their own interests and not those things of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, put this in shoe leather. You know, when you get right down to daily situations and you find yourself facing a choice between self and somebody else, even a Christian brother or sister, self wins the day most of the time. Okay, I want to vindicate myself. I want to defend myself. I want to praise myself. And I want to enjoy myself. Okay, and that means that my brother or sister is going to take the second chair. Okay, and that's why I speak to my brothers and sisters the way I do, and that's why I treat brothers and sisters the way I do. And, you know, Paul says, like, even the other Christians, if I'm honest, still are more wrapped up in their own things than the things of Christ and his kingdom and keeping his sheep. Okay, so, like, I can't go to Philippi myself, and I don't know if the sheep over there are in trouble. Whom shall I send? You know, who will go for me? Only Timothy says, here I am, send me. I love those guys. You know, I am worried about them. I want to help them. I will spend myself to go. Paul could probably, like I said, select somebody and send him, make him go. He could probably guilt somebody into doing this or order them to go or beg them to go or whatever. But with Timothy, you know, his heart is right in sync with Paul's own, right in sync with the Lord's own heart. You don't have to ask him twice. He's already got his all on the altar. Do you follow me? Okay, he is devoted body, soul, and spirit to the Savior and to the Savior's little ones. So, you know, I just want to say that one verse, you know, verse 21, it really, you got to take a minute and look at yourself because it is candid. Okay, as high and holy as Christian teaching is, and as much as we absorb it and hear it frequently, where are we really as far as practicing it? Living lives of selfless love and giving, being changed into the similitude of Jesus Christ, you know, or how much are we wrapped up in our own concerns? Okay, and I would wonder, you know, what if Paul was familiar with us as a congregation and we invited him to, you know, give his candid evaluation of us as a group? What would he say? You know, it's just, I see what he said to the church that he loves and talking about the church in Rome and just saying, you know, well, there's room for improvement, if I can put it mildly. Okay, all seek their own and not the things of Christ. You know, I've got this one guy who's like all in. Okay, now, when I hear that, I wish it wasn't so. I wish it wasn't so about myself. I wish Paul didn't have to say that, but if I'm honest, you know, I know my own feelings sometimes where you say, you know what, let that person take care of his own problems. You know what, I just don't feel like putting up with them today. Like, I know that Jesus wants me always to be at people's disposal and always to give without questioning, and, you know, that I have more of a heart for the church at large or brothers in other places or brothers in need or whatever it might be. But I have my own problems too, and that's just going to have to be somebody else's problem. Okay? And hope I'm not the only person in the room who feels that way sometimes. And, you know, it's that verse, right? It's good that the things that are in the scriptures are in there because they really make you think about yourself. It's true enough, okay? To have somebody like a Timothy in your circle is a tremendous blessing, right? Somebody who is all in for the Lord and for his sheep, okay? Genuinely cares about your welfare, even to have one of them. But why should there only be one? You know, this is what we're all supposed to be being transformed into, are we not? Like, this is the Christian way. This is what it is to be indwelt by the Spirit of God, to be approaching this, right? Should be the norm. So, all right, I mean, it gives us something to aim for. Okay, there's, what, 30 people here? I mean, optimally, there should be 30 such people, you know, right here. Shouldn't there? I mean, isn't that what the Bible, what the Spirit wants us to become? Well, all I could think of is there's, I know one way at least that I'm sure was beneficial for him. It's one way to work towards this, and that is to put yourself, this is something you can choose to do, it's to put yourself in the company of the sort of people that Timothy was around a lot. I mean, he's a great young man, but like, look who his companions are. Paul and Silas and, you know, these other mature brothers, you ought to acquire friends and mentors who are spiritually mature, shouldn't you? I mean, each of us needs a Paul in his life, right? I mean, you get one, you know, get more than one. You need people in your life who are biblically literate, who are devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ, who are seasoned prayers, and most of all, who have a heart for people. Okay, that cannot be stressed enough. People who have a heart for people, okay, who have a record of serving, right? Seek and acquire such people to be your friends, right? Seek acquaintances with such. And, you know, I've just felt like people are intimidated by ministers, by elders and deacons, and by missionaries, and like, you know, I just kind of keep, you know, keep away from them. You know, they're in a different sort of class of people. No, come on. These are the sort of people that you need to be close to who are going to help you develop and grow as a Christian. I'd say seek out such friends, because friends like that, friends shape friends, don't they? Okay, so Timothy is who he is in part because of the people in his life. You know, his mom and his grandmom were both believers. And then, you know, he spent years on the road with Paul and Silas, you know, planting churches, doing the day-in, day-out work of talking about Jesus, enduring the hardships together, and, you know, just sharing meals with them and sharing their heart for people. Okay, that's how a man develops. Okay, that's, so the company that you keep greatly influences the kind of Christian that you're going to become. So there's a proverb, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. Okay, he who walks with the wise will become wise. So, and I would say also the other thing you can do is read the Timothy letters as if you're Timothy. Okay, Paul is speaking right to you. Okay, don't read it as a letter to a third party. Read it as addressed to you. And hear Paul saying to you, you, my son, flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace along with those who call on the Lord out of a good heart. Okay, my son Timothy, you be an example to the believers in speech, in faith, in love, in conduct, and in purity. Devote yourself to reading the scriptures and to reading them to them and to teaching them and to exhorting them in the word of God. Give yourself wholly to it, my son, so that your progress may become evident to all. Okay, and that would be seeking the things that are of the Lord Jesus rather than seeking your own things. Okay, so lastly I will say, do you love me, Timothy? Then take care of my lambs. Okay, insert your name here. Do you love me? take care of my lambs, and may the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ form that good shepherd likeness in each one of us, whether we're old or young. All right, with that, let's ask the Lord to lead us through the week ahead and through all of our walk with Him. My Lord and Savior, thank you for brothers and sisters to love and to be loved by. Thank you for your family all over the world. Lord, as I've said, no matter where you go in all of the world, there are your people in every place, and there is an instant friend and brother. We pray for one another, Lord, as a local congregation, that you would form this kind of spirit in us. Give us an unhesitant devotion to one another, a genuine care and concern, the willingness to give, to spend, and to be spent, to serve you, Lord, as these zealous and eager disciples did. We pray for that same spirit, Lord. We confess our weakness and our selfishness and our failures. You know us, Lord. You know that we're made of dust and we're always thinking about what's on our own plate and not the concerns of others. So help us to have that same mind that was also in Christ Jesus for your pleasure, Lord God. I know that is the thing that you desire most out of us, is that we would shine the light of Jesus by our love for one another. So blessed be your name. We ask you to send us out of here with your word in our mouth and your spirit dwelling in our hearts in power and in peace. And I pray in Jesus Christ, amen.